Hey, everybody. Welcome to another show. We do have a slight handicap today, as I made a critical error and therefore do not have a computer. But I think we can make this show work. It was a horrible show in which to forget my computer. However, I think we can make do with a smart telephone in place. As such, I am subject to songs that I have downloaded onto my phone. And I thought we would just go with whatever I had first alphabetically, so enjoy.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Well,
the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with thinking the best speech? You'll never know if you don't go.
Go!
You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.
Welcome, hey now, welcome, wow. How lucky for us. How embarrassing for me. I did not know that Smash Mouth's All-Star would be the first alphabetical song that I had on my phone. Isn't it nice? I mean, Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the phone, must just shit himself. Or, you know, whoever invented the internet must just daily be furious. When it's like, how do you use the internet? And it's like, oh my god. Well, this phone is amazing. I can communicate anywhere. I can access any information I want, and they're like, that's great, how do you use that? And I say, oh, I have some music on here. And they say, all right. Then I play it, and it's Smash Mouth's All-Star, and that's gotta be a letdown of some kind. They're just listening to this, going, oh, this is what music is now. Well, I'm glad I died before this happened. You know, sometimes I think I would hate to die before maybe my favorite band will happen 10 years after I'm dead. That would be too bad. But on the other hand, I may miss whatever the all-star is of 2040 by being dead in 2040. Well, welcome to our show. Today, we have a pretty special episode. I was doing some research the other day about some sitcoms. And I was thinking about the sitcom Reba. As we've discussed on the show in the past, for some reason, on country music television, which plays at the gymnasium for some reason, there's a lot of for some reasons in here, so bear with me. For some reason with all this, they play about 4 hours of Reba a day, which is, you know, 8 episodes of Reba. Now, I don't actually know anyone who watches Reba or who watched Reba. I don't know anyone who could tell me the summary of one episode of Reba. I know this isn't much criticism coming from someone who has spent a lot of time promoting Roseanne, because you might ask, what's the difference? But trust me, there's a difference. So I was thinking about sitcoms, though, and thinking like, okay, well, there's got to be stuff that's worse, though. I mean, there has to, right? And it turns out there is much worse. So I've got a short list here of some very horrible sitcoms that I thought maybe we should see. Let's just start off with a bang. Now, this is a sitcom that may have worked, may have not, but it just sounds like a bad idea, and now I think we're advanced enough in TV watching to know why. This is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the sitcom. And I think there are two big reasons this fails, other than the minutia, which we'll go through, because it failed in a lot of ways. There are two ways it was destined to fail, and then they really managed to uncover and dig up a lot of other ways to not succeed. First of all, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, not Ferris Bueller's Days Off, not Ferris Bueller, hey, I never go to class. The kind of the fun of that movie, I think, was that it was one crazy day, and it was obviously all this stuff wouldn't normally happen in one day, but this is the crazy Ferris Bueller day. Ferris. So that was like the whole point of the movie. So how do you do that every week? That does not work. Unless you did maybe like a version like 24. Every episode is 22 minutes. So it's 22 minutes of the whole day. It's in real time. I can't even remember the second reason. There was a second big reason though. Wow. Wow. Good for me, huh? You know, I think that it also, I mean, it's a very charming movie, right? The cast is Matthew Broderick at his most charmingest. Maybe second to when he was in Godzilla in about 1994 or so. That was also quite charming, but Ferris Bueller, most charming. New Ferris Bueller, not charming, not fun. I mean, everyone wanted to hang out. Ferris Bueller is probably one of the few leading characters everyone would genuinely want to hang out with. I mean, would you really want to hang out with Zach Morris? I don't think I would, because I think he's kind of an asshole a lot of times. You know, remember when he had a problem with taking a blind girl to prom? What an asshole. By the way, I love that. I love that the early 90s, it was a thing of, oh my God, well, I can't take a blind girl to the prom. Now, in the 2000s, the 2010s, it's like, well, we need a prom king. I hope there's a guy in some crazy wheelchair. It just seems like it works that way a lot, doesn't it? It's very different. Now it would be, the plot would be different. It would be, oh, he's just using that as a ploy to make people think he's not an ass. But we know that Zach Morris is an ass. But what an ass he has. So we let him get away with stuff. Let's take a look at Ferris Bueller. I'm going to try and play it here. But, you know, and also talk, pause, that kind of thing. So we're seeing an alarm clock, you know. It's showing a very cool 90s room. So I like, it shows the things that are cool in a 90s room. It's like, you know that globe, that sphere that had lightning, purple lightning coming out and hitting the sides? That's on, which is great, because if you ever had one, it's like having a lava lamp or something. In a TV show, those are always on in a kid's room. And then in real life, you're like, that thing was 5,000 degrees when you left it on. And my dad said the electric bill went up $800 that month I had it in. You don't just leave it plugged in. You're just sleeping with purple glowing lightning all around you. That sounds really nice. There's like a huge stereo. That was another important. If you were in the 90s and you were a kid, if you had a huge stereo, that was the amount of cool you had. Somehow we were tricked into thinking if your stereo is huge, so is its impact on how cool you are. The larger your stereo, the more great you must be. You know, wacky posters, all kinds of shit.
Life is one damn thing after another.
One damn thing after another. I don't like depressed Ferris Bueller. I felt like original Ferris Bueller was sort of energetic and happy because he's like, I'm taking the day off, fuck it. But this guy's like, ugh.
Mark Twain said that after he changed his name. I'm Ferris Bueller, and I've never changed mine. Once they put me up on the big screen, it was out of the question. But come on.
So now he's going into the closet.
As me?
And he gets out a cardboard cutout of Matthew Broderick. So ostensibly, the conceit of this show is that Ferris Bueller's Day Off was some sort of movie made based on this kid's life when he ditched school and had one real crazy day.
No way. He's too white bread.
He's too white bread. This is a whiter kid with blonde hair wearing a button-up shirt.
Two-dimensional.
Two-one-dimensional. He's got a chainsaw in his closet.
Goodbye.
Now he's gonna chainsaw this thing. This chainsaw sounds like a blow dryer. So he cut it in half.
This is television.
Apparently it was wood.
This is real.
This is television. This is real. Unlike films. We get a lot more reality on television. Listen to this music.
Mom! Dad! Does he have to make a racket while I'm curling?
By the way, that's none other than Jennifer Aniston.
My lashes!
That's my sister Jeannie, overreacting. Thinks I get away with murder. Who's kidding who? She has a car and a nose job.
Hurry up, slugger!
Which is awesome, because Jennifer Aniston did have a nose job.
This is getting cold!
Dad, believe the world would be a better place if everybody started the day with a tummy full of oatmeal.
Ferris, it's 10 after!
That line is very... I like that. I think I should hate it. A tummy full of oatmeal. I could just... That's a very dad thing to say. I think everyone would be better off if they started the day with a tummy full of oatmeal. And you're like, Jesus, Dad, don't say tummy full of oatmeal. Don't even say tummy. Definitely don't say tummy full of oatmeal.
Mom loves me like a rock, but worries that I don't get enough sleep. I'm 16 years old and my life consists of two states of consciousness, un and sub. Don't get me wrong.
This is like the routine of the worst stand-up ever. I have two states of consciousness, un and sub. Good one. Very good. Or like two. Mom loves me like a rock? What does that mean? I love you like a rock. Like, I would love a rock. I don't love a rock, I tell you that. I love The Rock, the film.
High school is important. It's the only way to keep track of friends. Especially my...
This is just like one-liner after one-liner. High school is important. It's a good way to keep track of friends.
Best buddy Cameron.
He's punching up pictures on the computer.
Well... Even the computer can't get the bugs out. But then there's Sloan.
He's punching up another picture by pushing page down
Ocean
or something.
Ocean Park High's newest transfer. We're about to fall in love. Now all we have to do is meet.
Ferris, it's 11 after!
Gotta go. Hey, make yourself comfortable. Mi casa.
Okay, he's wearing baggy khakis, tucked in button-up shirt, and white high tops.
Es su casa.
But Matthew Broderick's too white bread.
When you leave, turn out the lights. Mom gets torqued about utility bills. And please, don't touch that stereo.
Don't touch my stereo.
On second, though, why don't you come along for the ride? A little education never hurt anybody.
So now he's outside, waving us along. Ooh, now he's on a computer background, dancing around, looking at the different names. Oh my god, this is unbelievable. This looks like if they said, like, what if someone had made a Ferris Bueller show in the 90s? Wow. This music is unbelievable. God, that's embarrassing.
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. That's Ferris Bueller, the show. What did you think of that? I thought it was a strong start there. I can't see why that wouldn't have succeeded. It's such a weird thing, because it's like, why do we need... You know what we need is a hook for a show that's about, like, some white kids in high school. Or we could just make another Saved by the Bell, or Boy Meets World, or whatever. Any show is that. 90210. All that shit. So that was horrible. Let's move on. I'd like to move on to a show that maybe some of you have heard of, some of you might remember. It's a little show about some men who are in space. Now, I know what you're thinking. Star Trek. No. You might be thinking, oh, this is Battlestar Galactica. Incorrect. The correct answer is this show is a little something called Homeboys in Outer Space.
Space. What a cool place. So calm. So tranquil. So full of love.
We're gonna die! We're gonna die!
So So we've got a couple, I guess they are self-proclaimed, so I'll just say it, homeboys, which I guess homeboys means non-whites. I think they're non-whites.
I knew I should have listened to my heart.
Hard to tell. One guy has definitely got a flat top. So I guess if you're black and you're in outer space, I mean, it is novel in a way. I think that there are some black guys on Star Trek. I don't know. Is a Klingon... Worf was a Klingon, and he was a black guy. Were all Klingons black, or was he a black guy Klingon? Did they also have whites and blacks? And if so, how did that all go up there? You know, were black Klingons enslaved and all that? That would be very strange. Oh, we have very different people and confusing, but one thing we kind of agreed on, apparently, was slavery. That we just all did think it was okay to enslave the black version of our race. What a bizarre coincidence.
Pull yourself together. In our many years of intergalactic battle, we've been through worse fates than this.
That was the big joke. We've been through worse scrapes than this. Good one. Guy says a thing, the other guy disagrees soulfully.
What do you want me to do, break down and cry in your face?
I can use the company.
I don't even get that. Do you want me to break down and cry in your face? I could use the company. So the conceit of this show seems to be that they are black and they're in space.
Well, I can't. I don't do that.
So there's a bunch of space effects.
They got lasers and photon torpedoes and, oh, they got those sparkling little lights to go, woo, woo, woo.
Hey! Oh. Oh. Snap out of it!
They got you slapping the crap out of me.
All I know, Ty, whatever's in this box is pretty damn important.
Ooh, he's got a box. That usually is important in a space movie. I'm having, you know, so far I don't see why Firefly was a hit and this wasn't, but let's see.
Oh man, it's just that I'm too young to die. I never got to see a sunrise on Alderaan 7. I never got to watch those floating purple moons on Thanos 12.
Here we go.
Well, I never got to make love to one of those eight-breasted women on Fishnet 5.
Eight-breasted women. I think that's too many. That's a dog, right? Isn't that how many a dog breasts or at least nipples? Dogs don't really have breasts, right? But they have nipples. I think that might be a dog woman.
Oh, man, you gotta do that. We're gonna save your ass and make sure we do that.
All right, let's throw this baby in the overdrive.
Hey, hit that rock.
To do a high five thing.
Captain's log.
I love saying that. Anyway.
I like that in a lot of space movies, how they get out of a thing. Even Star Wars does this, and Star Trek does this. They're like, we're in a bad situation. What are we going to do? They're like, let's push the button that makes us drive fast. Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that. Maybe we should just go fast. What a brilliant idea. I would have never come up with that.
After our butt-threatening mission on Jaxxon 5... we finished our deliveries and headed home, where we were welcomed as heroes and held in enormously high regard.
Hello, maggots.
Maggot-in-law. You are married to my sister.
That's some good exposition. You know what's nice about, I've discovered something about clumsy TV writing. It actually works well as audio, because then you have... you know, the clumsy writing is you've got this big, scary voice guy, and he says, hello, maggots, and he says, maggots in law, you're married to my sister, so I don't even have to explain anything.
Hey, my man, we went toe-to-toe with death, but like true soldiers of fortune, Morris Clay and Tiberius Walker have merged the...
Morris Clay and Tiberius Walker are probably the names of actual living homeboys in Earth space.
Points. Here... it's your precious treasure.
Oh, yeah. It's a slice of pizza.
Mushroom and squirrel.
Excuse me, Vashti. If I may be so bold as to inquire, what else is in that box?
Nothing.
Nothing? So apparently we've developed on some kind of tie line where homeboys still talk in homeboy style, but we're also developed space travel. And they somehow got this intergalactic pizza that has a squirrel on it. This is going well.
That tears me. Ever since we were kids, our dream was to cruise the cosmos in search of fame and fortune.
Man, I'm tired of that slob sending us on these lousy milk runs.
Maggots, you forgot the milk.
nothing like pizza and some milk. That was a good joke. He coughs and a squirrel tail comes out of his mouth. I like that. It's one slice of pizza, by the way. They could have had a whole pizza box, but instead it's one slice. Who puts one slice in a box?
I'm going to go give that mutant bully a piece of my mind.
Right.
Vasti?
What?
I am sick and tired of coming here.
This drink is watered down.
Really?
This guy complains. He shoots him with a laser and he dissolves. I've had enough of homeboys from outer space. How about you? I just don't... You know, it's a thing that I think used to happen a lot in TV that they've finally gotten away. This was like a big step in TV going from shitty to good. I think in older TV, I've been watching The X-Files, thanks to a podcast, The X-Files Files, which is great. But they used to explain a lot of shit that I don't think needed explaining, but I think there were a lot of concerns in the past of, are people going to know what that is? Do people know what that term is? Do they know what that is? Do they know what this is? And that kind of thing. We need to explain this. Do they know what, is it important that they know that this guy is also his brother-in-law? Not really, but should we explain that immediately in a very clumsy way? That has no real effect on the relationship or how anyone watching feels about it. Yeah, we should do that. We absolutely need to do that. So I think that a big transition from TV. It seems that TV has gotten smarter. And by smarter, I don't just mean generically like, oh, the writing's better or something like that. I think, to me, it seems like TV has gotten a little closer to saying, we are not going to tell you and remind you of everything via crazy, clumsy dialogue, if that's possible. That does seem to be something that has happened. Let's move on. This is a show called... Whoops. That's what it's called. That was not me going, whoops. Apparently, this is about an apocalypse that happened. And so almost everyone dies, and there's some people left alive. I don't know much about it. Let's take
a handful of survivors. The world had been destroyed.
There you go.
Looking back on it, it had to be considered a bad parade.
Well, this shows whoops in hilarious, like, game show, colorful bubble letters that are all mushed together. Which seems like an appropriate way to deal with the apocalypse.
Whoops is brought to you by McDonald's.
Okay.
Home of the
Braddock. That morning started off for me like any other. I was teaching English to my class of sixth graders at Jefferson Elementary. I was on my lunch break at the drive-through ATM when it happened.
I like that. I was at my lunch break at the drive-through ATM when it happened.
The Volvo proved even safer than advertised.
He was in a Volvo and everything disappeared and his airbag goes off. I like that. So everything's gone from a flash.
Searched for other survivors for any sign of life.
He's driving a Volvo around the desert.
What had once been a city was now a barren, desert-like wasteland. I was in shock. I had no idea where I was or where I was headed. I just kept driving.
Dun, dun,
and when
dun,
I ran
dun,
out of
dun,
gas,
dun,
I started walking. I'll never know how I made it to the top of that ridge, but
he's at Red Rocks.
And the sight that greeted me was unexpected indeed.
He's at Red Rocks, and he's about to see 311 playing a four-hour terrible show. Oh, he sees a cabin in the woods and passes out. Now he's woken up in the cabin, and there's people.
Where am I? You've passed on, and this is heaven. Really? No, I'm putting you on. The world was destroyed, and we're the survivors.
I like how this is. There's other people sitting next to this wacko, and he's like, I have a great idea. When this guy wakes up from a traumatic potential injury, by the way, there's like five people left alive. The first impression I would like to make on this one other survivor is that I'm a goofball who would tell him that he's died. Don't you think it'd be funny if for like 5 seconds he thought he was dead? Just for five, I will immediately take it back, but just for 5 seconds that he thinks he's dead. That is my definition of comedy right there.
Connors.
What?
No. What is this?
You're in a farmhouse. We don't know where exactly.
Where?
Are we really the only
I don't
one?
Know if you could tell, but that guy's in a suit and seems to be very proper.
Left?
We don't know. We all came here from different places and it doesn't look good, but we are here and we are safe. Oh, you're still weak. You were unconscious for several hours.
Why don't you get him something to eat?
Well, sure thing. Oh, how about some grilled chicken, a little Dijon mustard, some melted cheese? Would you like that?
Yeah.
So would I.
He's taking this well.
So, tell me, how did you survive the missiles?
I was in my Volvo.
You know what's funny about also another evolution of TV is the laugh track. Thinking about watching this, I have to say, like the laugh track, I think we didn't need it anymore when shows were funny. Or maybe we became versed enough in TV to know when something was supposed to be funny. But like, I think that the laugh track maybe originally had a purpose, but then it was perverted into like, well, you don't have, even if a joke is real bad, you do the laugh track so people know they're supposed to laugh. Maybe they'll laugh if they think they're supposed to. Maybe not, but maybe. Maybe.
Good car. Where are my manners? I'm Curtis Thorpe.
Mark Braddock.
I have a card here somewhere.
I'm Alice.
Curtis Thorpe. I love, I bet they spent 10 hours coming up with a name that they're like, let's make a good, like, rich guy name that's not too rich guy of a rich guy name. You know, Curtis Thorptington III. No. Warren Worthington. No. Uncle Pennybags McDollar Packer. No. Curtis Thorpe.
McConnell. I was at the Every Woman's Bookstore when it happened.
Every Woman's Bookstore.
A few years ago after the divorce. I had just sold one of our Women of Congress calendars when I noticed that the cash...
They really packing in the, like, in case you can't tell that this is like the proto-Portlandia feminist bookstore, this is called the Women Are Really Glad They Have the Right to Vote bookstore. We had the Smart and We Don't Care About Their Physical Attractiveness Woman Calendar, which I had just sold...
was out of tape, so I went down to the basement, which is where we keep the supplies, and that's how I made it.
See, again, I went down to the basement, which is where we keep the supplies. I get it. Yeah, thank you. So I went down to the basement, which is where we keep the supplies, in the bookstore that got blown up with missiles.
The basement had originally been built in the 60s as a bomb shelter.
Uh-huh.
I was very lucky.
Oh, if I had not run out of tape, I would have been behind the counter, crushed under a pile of gender-free dictionaries.
Well, she works in mysterious ways.
Well done. Herstory. And now that store is Herstory. I like this lady. I like that she's like, seems to, this character seems to be a woman who runs a feminist bookstore and does not actually believe in what she does. She almost seems that she's like, yeah, I just kind of worked there. I hate it. I'm not buying what she's selling, and it may be a problem. There are a lot of problems.
I was in the vault in my office.
Oh, you're a stock analyst.
You may have read the profile of me in Forbes last month. I'm the one who came up with the friendly hostile takeover.
You may have read about me in Forbes last... By the way, anyone who appears in Forbes, I don't know if anyone would know you unless they were also in the same Forbes. Because I think I'd feel obligated if I was in Forbes or Time or whatever. I would buy it, obviously, and then I'd feel obligated to actually read it, because then, what if you were, let's say you were in Time, you're like one of the 100 most influential people of whatever year it is. If I was in that and I bought it, and let's say I was 95 and you were 96 or something, and I had no idea who you were, I'd feel like an asshole, because they'd be like, we were on the same page. They took a picture of us, photoshopped, and we had our arms around each other. But nevertheless, you didn't even read it, did you? You don't even care who else is on the podium with you. You just don't care.
Very impressive.
So you didn't happen to hear what the market closed at. The emergency broadcast system didn't mention it.
Mr. Thorpe.
Wow.
The market was vaporized.
Well, aren't we polypessimism? You think we never had a downturn before?
Mr. Thorpe, there is no more Wall Street. There is no more economy. That is all meaningless now.
Don't tell me meaningless. I had a $2.6 million home in Oakmont Park. I had a Mercedes and a Range Rover. I had a loving wife who did charity work and had liposuction once a year. And look, I still have my cellular phone.
Nice. I just... Yeah. How will this kooky cast of characters ever get along in the apocalypse, huh? I can't possibly imagine it. You know, I give this one a little bit of points. A little bit of points. I give this one a couple points, and here's why. I like the concept of, obviously, it's like a apocalyptic sitcom. So that's pretty good. But, I mean, it's horrible. It's obviously horrible. Here's another one we've got. Rob Schneider apparently was in a sitcom called Rob, although it's Rob because it's got an exclamation point upside down at the beginning and at the end. I'm pretty torn as a gringo about the upside down, inside out, about to show all these points, what they're all about. On the one hand, it's nice because it's a question. So if it's a question... In Spanish, they're like, well, we'll let you know at the beginning of the sentence. You're going to know that this is a question. But on the other hand, it, you know, makes it difficult to bury the lead and get cute. So Rob is a sitcom about our friend Rob, what's this asshole's name? Rob Schneider. And he marries a Spanish or Mexican woman, I suppose. And, you know, it's real hard to be, damn, it's hard to be a white guy married to a Spanish woman.
So the guy gets up and he dusts himself off and he goes now, right back
course,
into the bar and goes.
Who is the dad in this situation? Cheech. They're like, we need a guy who sounds real Mexican. Danny Trejo doesn't exist yet, so let's get Cheech.
Right up to the bartender, he says, I accept that my wife is hairy. Pero no le aventes cacahuates.
I don't get it. No, what did he say?
It's not funny in English, man.
It's not funny in English. Now, the first 9/10 of the joke are funny in English, you know, so that we know that we're not watching Sablo Gigante. But the punchline has to be in Spanish, but the rest is in English. Don't be an idiot, Rob.
But in Spanish, it's so hilarious.
I feel bad for you, best friend. Well, I got a good one.
Okay.
Oh. 10 people hear a joke, and only 9 of them understand it. Rob.
I like how, so, are we supposed to identify, here's what is great about these sitcoms. Here's what's great about sitcoms, or like the, you know, the boon of the sitcom. And why I think the sitcom was destroyed. I could get behind a sitcom where this was the premise, and then also, basically, we're supposed to see Rob Schneider as a total asshole. And it's like, actually, no one likes him. They're all very reasonable and try to accommodate him. But then he says, like, yeah, they don't speak fucking American in America. That's my joke. And then he, you know, cuts somebody's finger off with a cigar cutter.
That's really not funny.
Okay, do you like some flan? None for me and Nando?
No, Rosa's got me on a diet ever since I screamed out Ben and Jerry during sex.
Moral support.
Yep. I'm exercising, I'm eating right, and you know what? I've never felt better.
I knew you could do it.
Yeah, no more sweatpants in church for me.
Who wants our ethnically appropriate dessert?
I'm so proud of you, cariño.
Now, what does cariño mean? Is that like fatso?
It means darling. ¿Cómo es posible que Rob no entienda nada de español, eh?
Supone que Rob hable cualquier idioma.
What'd they say?
Nothing.
It don't sound like they were talking about me.
Lo peor del
rock. It's extra confusing because it's all subtitled in Spanish. So the Spanish talk happens in Spanish, and then only Rob's English is subtitled in Spanish also.
Es que se compra la ropa en el Baby Gap.
No. I distinctly heard blah, 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 Rob, blah, 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 Baby Gap. I'm not making it up.
Don't worry about it. Bueno, para mí,
bueno.
Yo encuentro que...
So he's looking at the people, and this is what he hears.
Best friend. What?
I said, do you want some coffee?
Yeah, I'll take mine with cream and subtitles.
I just like the... Yeah. This is good. So here's what we're seeing in the first minutes of this sitcom. This is a husband who's gone to his wife's house. They are all Spanish speaking, and they speak Spanish, and he is like legit pissed off that they aren't speaking English for him. I mean, I guess they can speak English, so it is a little weird. But on the other hand, if one guy, he said 1 out of 10, if 90% of the people speak 100% good Spanish. It's a little hard to identify with Rob. For the first time, I'm having difficulty identifying with Rob Schneider, if you can believe it.
I tried to fat down your throat. I'm going upstairs, getting on the elliptical, raise my heart rate, huh? Eduardo, no seconds for you? Hey, you're carrying it high. It's gonna be a girl.
Yo quiero más café, por favor.
Now, what is he saying about me?
Rob, he just asked for some more coffee, and see, Mom just poured him more coffee.
Seems awfully convenient.
Margarita, would you please go get some more cream?
That's okay, I'll get it. Maybe I'll share a joke with the English muffins.
I can't see how such a likable guy didn't make it longer. I really identify with his situation of being a huge asshole. Hey, Cheech is eating in the kitchen.
How'd you get down here?
I crawled out the window, came in the back door. Don't say a word. Hey, look, if anybody didn't finish their flan, bring it in here, okay?
And I've got the intro. Good music, of course. Created by Rob Schneider. What a surprise.
Just tell me. I want to know what your family keeps saying about me in Spanish.
Rob, it's really not worth worrying about.
Aha! So they are talking about me in Spanish. I knew.
This is like the ultimate, too, like the ultimate white thing. Whenever someone's speaking about you in another language, you assume that they're talking about you. Although, I think it's easy to tell. There are a lot of cues. Basically, when someone's looking and pointing at you and then laughing, yes, I assume that you're talking about me. I don't assume that you're talking about a joke, you know, and you tell a hilarious joke about, I don't know, hideous jeans, and then point at me and say, unlike that guy's awesome jeans. I mean, I assume, I make assumptions. Let's go to our last two. This is where we get into the offensive categories. Of ones that probably never should have happened. This first one is a little show called The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer. This is a sitcom about a slave. So we decided to take the hilarious concept of slavery and make a sitcom. So we're seeing old-timey manor.
The Civil War defined America, both the good and the bad. It was the crossroads of our being, and it was a hell of a crossroads. Who would have thought there was a comedy in all that? Well, we did. We were fortunate to acquire an extraordinary historical document. The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer, the P isn't silent, chronicles the life and times of a member of President Lincoln's staff at the height of the Civil War. Pfeiffer, an English nobleman, claimed that he and his trusted manservant were forced by rival noblemen to flee to America due to a dispute over the Queen. All five of them. The rest, as they say, is history. Everything that follows actually happened. You can't prove that it didn't.
March 5th. This entry will be brief.
So he's writing in his diary.
Just when my spirits were at their lowest ebb, Fortune's loving countenance looked upon me when Niblet, my trusted manservant and part-time footrest, happened upon the
discovery. He's black, by the way.
President Thomas Jefferson's long-lost journal, in which he discloses the secret location of his most valuable treasure. Okay, so the century wasn't so brief. I don't get it. According to Jefferson's map, the treasure should be 5 paces to the left. Remember your other left?
He's directing a white man who I guess is his slave of sorts.
What comes?
3, 4, 5!
So it should be right here.
He touches a hot stove for no reason.
It's the third time you've done that!
Well, it's hot!
Perhaps if we start at the beginning.
Yes. Well, my first recollection is me mum tossing me off a bridge in a sack full of puppies.
I meant retrace our steps from the beginning.
I can do so, yes.
Burns his hand again.
Whatever you said, 2-1.
This is a complete waste of time.
Agreed.
This kitchen has been remodeled several times since the Great Fire of 1812. We'll never find Thomas Jefferson's secret hiding place. Get this out of my sight.
Why are they looking? Okay. Oh, of course. He accidentally opens a painting on the wall.
I'm putting it back where I found it. Yeah, right next to that fancy box.
That's it! You found the treasure!
Oh, we're rich! It's beautiful, sir. I've never seen such an exquisitely flawless brick.
No, my evolutionary cul-de-sac. The treasure is in this box. And that means I can pay off my gambling debts to those thugs who've been threatening me.
Oh, have you been playing the horses again, sir?
No, I got hooked on Indian bingo.
Oh, yeah.
See, they let you get ahead, and then they pass around that peace pipe, and brother, you're gone.
Brother, you're gone. I like the little stings between... Dun-dun-dun! Okay, this is unwatchable. Let's go to the last one. I mean, obviously, that's not going to work. I think a sitcom that takes place during slave times, even though they sort of made the white guy the slave and the black guy the not slave, it begs the question why, I suppose. There's nothing about that premise of, okay, we're in Thomas Jefferson's old house. Can we find his treasure? There's really nothing about that that requires it to take place during slavery, is there? Doesn't seem to me. But before we get too worried, we have one last entry. This is a sitcom that is called Heil Honey, I'm Home. This is a sitcom starring none other than Adolf Hitler.
And unless Arthur Lowe defeats him, the man himself in a few moments in Heil Honey, I'm Home as the Galaxy Comedy Weekend continues.
We're seeing a weird intro. Here we go.
With Heil Honey, I'm Home.
Blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of text here. You want to see the series Heil Honey, I'm Home. Not so much a sitcom, more a hitcom. It says, I like that. That is a good tagline. Not so much a sitcom as a hitcom. That I like. That's good writing. Maybe this will be the best one. Let's find out.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
So we're seeing pictures of, like, German landmarks.
Smile, honey, because I'm home. Gee, it's great to be Top Gun, but it's nothing like the fun that I get when I say, Heil, honey, I am home. Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Smile, honey. Gee, it's great to be back. Heil, honey, I'm home.
Here we go. We're in an apartment. Hitler walks in. Everyone claps for some reason.
Heil, honey, I'm home.
He does the Heil Hitler wave. His wife walks in an apron and with a pan.
Heil, honey, me.
What did I do now? Oh, tonight you were making schnitzel. What a joke.
What a joke.
I'm a very, very bad Hitler. Come here, baby.
Touch me. You've been late for your dinner every night this week.
Ava, babe, please. I'm the Fuhrer. I'm a busy man. I can't just walk off the job at 5 o'clock.
On Monday, you had to meet with Goebbels. On Tuesday, von Ribbentrop. On Wednesday, Klaus Katzenjammer. Who's Klaus Katzenjammer?
He's my tailor. You should see the tux, honey.
You see, everyone's more important than Ava. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Schickelgruber. You may be big stuff in Germany, but I knew you when you were just a house painter.
Boy, this is going to be some night. Come on, honey. Don't get sour.
And don't think you can smooch around me like that, Adolf Hitler.
Hey, you want to know a secret? Tomorrow, I got Neville Chamberlain coming over here.
I love this. Again, here's what's weird about this, or offensive, I guess, to me about it. I mean, obviously the obvious, but like nothing about the, it's, they were writing on this. They were saying, you know, what would be funny is if it was like a totally normal sitcom, except it was Hitler. But like, this is basically their license to say, we're going to just recycle the Honeymooners, make it a show. But since we're calling it Hitler the Show, it's, you know, the context will be funny. But I don't think it works that way. I don't think you can just get laughs just by saying, oh, we're going to put this in a weird... Because I'll tell you what, I watched... We just heard 2 minutes of that. I was already over the fact that it was Hitler. A guy dressed as Hitler in a Hitler mustache, so what? Not that exciting. Guys, I think we're done for the day. Thanks for listening again. Hopefully I'll get this up tomorrow. when I have a computer. When my brain gets smart, but my head gets dumb. You'll never know if you don't go. Go! Never shine if you don't glow. Glow, glow, glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. What a great song, huh? I thought it would be a disaster not to have a computer, but it's turned out to be the biggest boon to this show since having a computer. All right, you guys have a good night. We will see you next week with more great action. Only shooting stars break the mold.